This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome inside Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Bob Pompeiani here. Matty Harkins is behind the glass. He'll be taking your calls at 412-928-9370. It's also the number of the Edgar Snyder & Associates fan text line. Edgar Snyder & Associates reminds you to text responsibly. And Twitter is brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in Peters Township, or visit them online at southhillsjeep.com. Jim Colony is looking for a place to vacation, and I can offer you many before you leave here, if you want.
If you'd like. At the very end, I'm rambling on, going like there was something else I wanted to talk about. I didn't mention it. Buzz Aldrin. You see this?
No.
Buzz Aldrin got married. Okay, he's 93 years old.
Did they fly to the moon?
He got.
Is he over the moon?
Take me to the moon. No, he's 93, and his wife now, his longtime companion, I guess technically a girlfriend, who's 63, right? I mean, so that's, yeah, I mean, good for him. But they got married yesterday on his 93rd birthday. And then I looked up his bio. Of course, his real name is Edwin, which I'd forgotten about.
No wonder he's Buzz. Edwin.
Yeah, Edwin. Edwin Aldrin, which actually sounds pretty cool.
Yeah.
Right? Edwin Aldrin.
Edwin Aldrin.
He'd be one of those guys that if he played hockey, the play-by-play guys would use both of his names. But anyway, so Buzz, and then I looked up his bio. I didn't realize this is his fourth marriage. He's like Joe Hardy. And he looks great for 93. You see, it's full.
Maybe that's
like
the
secret.
Well,
what, to go to the moon?
No.
Come back with. Oh, okay.
But, no, I'm just saying.
No, but Joe, Joe lived to be 100. I guess, and he made it.
He did make it.
He did like
wild.
The queen.
I was up there that day. We were doing the party that night, and yeah. He was all looking forward to it. And I think in his own way. Mr. Hardy wanted everyone to be there, and this was his way to do it. He lasted until that day exactly.
That's unbelievable.
I mean, that's a boss move, right?
You can
will yourself to go to 100.
But Buzz, you kind of forget about him, right? Because he's one of those guys that he was like Neil Armstrong's. He was his wingman. He really was. And so you forget about Buzz because he was a second guy on the moon, and it's all about Neil Armstrong this and Neil Armstrong that. But I mean, Buzz, fourth wife. 63.
With all due respect to making, nuptials at that age, is there a benefit at that age? I mean, I mean, companionship is good. I think people should be.
Oh, absolutely.
But to take it all the way to the finish line like that, I don't know. I mean, that's.
Well, if you're in our position, like you and I are lucky enough that we're in a position where hopefully, not hopefully. I mean, it is going to be like, we're going to have the same.
Right.
We're going to have the same
wife. We're long-termers.
We're not going to be on number four. And yet, I know what you mean, though. If something were to happen to me, I mean, I'm guessing it'll happen to me before it happens to her. And if Linda outlives me by 10 years, then, yeah, I'd want her to have somebody to hang out with.
Companionship's good. I just, I don't know if you have to.
Are there tax benefits when you get to be 93 years old?
I don't.
I have to talk to her.
If I'm 93 worrying about tax benefits, just shoot me anyway. I don't want, like, come on.
If he's worried about the other benefits, then God bless him.
Well. Yeah, I could go on about that.
See, isn't this
that,
more fun than talking about Matt Canada?
Yes, it is. I don't want to talk about Matt Canada anymore. Whether the performance level of a 93-year-old, that's what we're getting into here. Interesting.
Well, there are plenty of products that are available.
I just don't know.
You can hear about on this station.
I wouldn't want to watch that.
All anyway. Right, well, I got to go, and they're not going to ask me to come back again talking about this.
We can get some new sponsors you know,
yes.
some of those manufacturers who have those products that make it easier.
A little bit out of our demographic, I believe, our listening audience, our 93-year-old, but hey.
Yeah, we're not doing that. So here, Jim, thank you. Jim Colony, looking for a place to go. If you do have some advice for him, let him know. He's not interested in making a long trip to Hawaii, which I think is a good trip, but it is a long trip. No, I told you, if you want to go to Hawaii, I can give you all these suggestions. But if you don't want to go to Hawaii, Bahamas is a good suggestion.
Yeah. Yeah, that's not
close
too far.
By. It's not that difficult to get to.
You ever gone to the Mediterranean? Have you done Italy?
I've done Italy, yes.
But have you gone
no.
to where the blue
no.
water is, like in
no,
Mamma Mia?
I'd love to do that. I'm sure Lisa wants to do that. We'll, as we get older, we'll figure that out.
See, you need to retire, Bob. And then
I'm
you
not going to retire. I'm not interested in that right now.
Really?
No.
Oh,
why,
okay.
Do you want me to?
I don't know.
No.
Yeah, then I take your job. Come out of retirement. All right, see ya.
All right. That's Jim Colony, ladies and gentlemen. I could officially say Jim Colony is left the building. Anyway, I want to tell you our show is brought to you by number one Cochrane Shop 24/7 with Expressway at Cochrane.com. Iron Rock Tap House in Greensburg. Come see what everyone is talking about. And you want to talk about a good place to watch games? Iron Rock Tap House is that place. PNC Bank, make today the day at PNC. All right, so we have a lot to get into. I want to start, like I told Jim when he first had me on there at the end of his show, with load management. It's a different topic, but it's an interesting topic, and it was interesting last night because I know Colin Dunlap took, I think, his daughter up there to Cleveland. I've been to Cleveland many times to watch Cavaliers games. I know this is not an NBA town, so bear with me. This is a topic, however, that if you are somebody who wants to watch a game close by in Cleveland and you knew Golden State had one and one only trip to that place all year, you bought tickets in advance, you know, you had an opportunity to watch Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, all those guys, except none of them played. Neither did Donovan Mitchell, one of the most exciting guys in the game for Cleveland. Load management. Golden State had played the night before a really intense game with Boston that went into overtime. And this is a problem, I think. And it should be a problem because if you are a, you know, and I guess buyer beware and all of the situation. But if you're in the situation where you want to watch one of those kinds of games and you know and you have to buy these tickets in advance because they sell out quickly that Golden State's coming to Cleveland, I'm driving up, we're going to make a big day of it, and yet none of those guys plays. Five of their starters didn't play, including Draymond Green. Not that I would go to see him, but you know what I mean. And yet Golden State still won, due largely because of Jordan Poole, who's a really good player. But Cleveland is a good team. It's a good matchup. None of the showcase players played. I think the NBA has to address that problem. How do you do it? Steve Kerr said after the game last night, you reduce the number of games. The NBA will never do that. No league does that. If anything, they increase games. Witness the NFL, and it'll go from 17 to 18 eventually. There's revenue. But if you're really in a position of trying to tax players or not tax them as much, I think a reduction in regular season games could be the answer. I wouldn't hold my breath. It's not going to change anything. They're going to want the money, period. People will buy the money, and those are expensive tickets. And that game against Cleveland, Golden State, if you went up there, you're going to pay some cash for that, but you got to see nobody. And that's a shame because I think people, you know, should be the NBA needs to address this somehow, some way. Because it's one thing to miss a play with injury, and I know these guys were, you know, they have banged up injuries. By playing all these games, back-to-back games are difficult. If I was a buying consumer for one of these games, I would also look at the schedule and see what these guys are dealing with in terms of back-to-back games. Much of this load management issue comes on back-to-back games. Coaches will not play guys on back-to-back games. Well, why do they schedule back-to-back games then? Because they have to get all these games in a certain amount of time before they get to the playoffs. So, I mean, those are the issues at stake here, and I don't think it's fair to buying public, but then again, buyer beware, as I said. If you have a thought about that, let me know, you know, what you think. But load management has become a big talking point in the NBA. We have a lot to get into today. We have some really intriguing football games going on. Of course, we have a very important basketball game coming up here later today on 93.7 The Fan. It's Pitt and Florida State. And the Pitt Panthers, we haven't said March Madness, Maddie, in a long time. We haven't said March Madness. Could it be this is the year? Pitt right now is 6-2 in the ACC, and they've done it without their best player from last year, John Hughley, without their number one recruit who is coming in and going to be a starter, Dior Johnson, and they're doing it with a bunch of transfer portal guys. and they're playing really well as a team. And kudos to Jeff Capel for getting the results, because it's been a long time. And they're taking on an FSU team that is not as good as it was in previous years. But anytime, if you follow college basketball, you know Leonard Hamilton's teams. And he's been there for a long time, two decades plus, down there at Florida State. They know how to rebound the basketball. They're physical. They have length on their side. That's a problem for Pitt, because Pitt has been giving up a lot of offensive rebounds, even in their wins. What Pitt has done better than most is shoot a lot of threes and make a lot of threes. That's something I did not expect. They lead the ACC in three-point attempts. They're also number three in the ACC in three-pointers made. So that tells you they're getting it done from the outside, which is good. They're also making foul shots, which is always something that I never thought Pitt would do well enough. But this year they are doing it. Their star players have combined for 90% made foul shots in ACC games. That's how you close out games. And Pitt has done that with wins against number 10 Virginia. That was a tough game at the Pete. They beat Syracuse on the road. They beat North Carolina. They beat NC State. They lost to Duke. They led by 11 at halftime, so they could be the legit team. They beat up on Louisville the other night. Boy, what's happened to Louisville? They haven't won a game in conference. They're 0-8. They're terrible. They are craving the days of Rick Pitino and everything that came with it, because they're not winning. It's funny what lack of winning will do to you. Anyway, we're just getting started here. It's 412-928-9370 is that number to call. All right, welcome back on a glooming Saturday. It's cold outside, a little snow, atmospheric snow. That's nice. It's a football weekend. Two games today, two more tomorrow, and they're big ones. Jacksonville, Kansas City, New York Giants, Philly today, and then you have Cincinnati, Buffalo. You'll see that one on KDK tomorrow at 3. Dallas, San Francisco, and any of these teams, to me, I mean, I would rule Jacksonville as a long shot, even though I think they're capable. You know, they played Kansas City earlier. They left a lot out there on the table. They were in Kansas City position, deep in their territory. They screwed it up once, got no points, turnover. They missed a field goal. One thing about Kansas City, when you're playing at Arrowhead, man, you cannot miss opportunities. I think also Travis Etienne has to get more carries. They got to somehow keep the ball away from Patrick Mahomes, if possible. And they have so many people on that team that can kill you. So that would be a long shot for me. But at the same time, Jacksonville showed me a lot in the second half after being down so big, 27-0 against the Chargers last week. How about the Giants in Philly? You got to give a lot of credit for Brian Daboll and his ability to get the quarterbacks and make them better. He reduced the turnovers when he was the quarterback coach and the guy in charge of Josh Allen in Buffalo. And this year did the same with Daniel Jones, who was a turnover machine, quite frankly. He's turned into a really good player, and now they have a problem on their hands. What to do with him, because they did not pick up his, you know, fifth-year option. So that makes him somebody who can do what he wants. They can still franchise tag him, which they probably will. Which leads us to Lamar Jackson, another guy who, you know, John Harbaugh said 100, 200% certain he is our quarterback. That's easier said than done. He may be, because you, again, hold the franchise tag over him. But will they get a long-term deal done for him? I don't know. And I don't know if he wants to. I don't know down deep if they want to. So that's another interesting offseason story. Tomorrow you got Cincinnati, Buffalo. What can you say about that? Again, Josh Allen versus Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow and Cincinnati, they may be very motivated, because they thought they got the short end of a lot of stuff with what happened back on that Monday night in Cincinnati. And then Dallas, San Francisco, is Brock Purdy. Is it for real? Reports out there indicate that San Francisco will make him their quarterback next year and not Trey Lance. I find that a little stretch for this point, because they put so much invested into Trey Lance. But we'll see. I mean, if he wins another game and gets them to an NFC championship game, and then beyond that, why would they make a change? Quite frankly, I mean, he's done a very good job, and it's nice to have a scheme that makes it work and frees up people like Shanahan's schemes often do. But I think it's really encouraging that if you're San Francisco, to get that much out of that guy is incredible. And it's a testament to their coaching and development so quickly for a guy like that. 412-928-9370. Let's get out to the phone lines. We begin with Brandon in Penn Hills. Hey, Brandon, how are you?
I'm well. Just had a good breakfast. How are you, Bob?
Good.
I wanted to talk about how Kenny Pickett doesn't actually like Matt Canada, whether he realizes it or not. I wanted to throw some numbers at you. I'd say 7 yards an attempt is a pretty healthy, like borderline healthy average. Anything below that's not good. Ben Roethlisberger played over half the games in his career for 17 years. The only two where he averaged under 7 yards an attempt were 2020 and 2021. Kenny Pickett, 6.1 yards an attempt. So this is a recent trend in the offense, and it's not going to get better. He said after the Philadelphia game he doesn't like how it takes 12, 13, 14, 15 plays to get down into the end zone. Well, Kenny, you're going to be doing that every game when you can barely get 6 yards every time you throw the ball, on average. So nothing's going to change. People say they want more explosiveness in this offense. They were asking for that in the middle of the year. Claypool wanted more go balls. Did he get more go balls? No. So I don't know why people expect a Tiger to change its stripes.
Brandon, the only thing I'll tell you is the Steelers were number three in the NFL in go balls. The problem was, I thought, they were in the same area. They were on the sidelines. They weren't in the middle of the field. Difficult to complete all those passes in that situation. And I'm not defending that because I agree with you. I think they need more explosiveness in their offense. But I also think that they could very well bring in a pass game coordinator to help. They could do a lot of different things that they know it. If you don't think they know it, you're crazy. They don't. They know it. They know that they have to do that, and they haven't been able to do it. But it starts with some play action, too, that I think will help all things matter. And they led the NFL in 151 yards per average in their last four games. And, again, I understand the competition wasn't all that great. But there are things that they've made their decision based on how this offense was moving forward at the end of the year. Is that false, fool's gold? I don't know. We'll find out. They made a choice, and we'll see what they do with it. But I think you're going to see this offense take another step in a different direction down the field. It has to. It cannot survive, as you described, because it's not good enough that way.
Well, I mean, you say they see that, and they know it. But I'm sure they saw that in 2020 and 2021 and in 2022. It's the same. The yards per attempt have actually been going down 3 years in a row. So I mean, they knew, and Canada wasn't even the offensive coordinator in 2020, technically, even though he had the fingerprints on the offense. So this is more about what Mike Tomlin wants. And if I could just ask Tomlin and give him truth serum, I'd just ask him, what does this offense do that he likes? Not what he wants it to do or hopes it can do, because he always says, this is a results-oriented business. So what results does it put on the field that he likes? Because he's clearly satisfied with under 6.4 yards an attempt for 3 years.
Well, I know for a fact he's not satisfied with that. I know for a fact, because I've talked to him about it, he's not satisfied with that. But I get your point, and I think they need that's the challenge for them. They got to move forward with this, and they have to go down the field more. They have to use the middle of the field more. The good thing about their offense is just about everyone is under the age of 26 who's involved, key players, and I think a year of growth. Again, they made the choice. I didn't think they'd make that choice, but they made the choice. And so since they did, all you can do at this point is see where it takes them. I don't expect any sort of extension. I expect 1 year. So you may classify him lame duck. You may classify him whatever you want, but he has to prove it, and they have to prove it next year. Thanks for the call, Brandon. Do appreciate it. Let's go to Marty in Frick Park. Marty, how are you?
Hey, Bob. I got an old 40-year-old load management story. I went to see the Rockets play the Lakers, 82-83 season. Ross Sampson's a rookie. The Rockets still weren't very good the year before. They got a keen, too. But so anyhow, they play the Lakers. I think Kareem hit a winning hook shot to win the game. The next day, I got a flight to New Orleans. Kareem and Magic and the Lakers are in the airport. They're flying commercial. So I looked it up before I called you. Kareem played 20 years, Bob. 20 years. The man was 7'2" or 7'3". He averaged 78 games a year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he was flying commercial. Michael was last 2 years with the Wizards, played almost every game, 38, 39-year-old guy. I mean, here's what I'd say to Steve Kerr. Maybe you'll agree or disagree. If they cut the league from 82 to 72 games, Kyrie would still miss 20% of the games.
Yeah, Kyrie's missed 20% of the games his whole career. Micromanaging these guys to the point where it makes – again, you have to consider the consumer. The consumer's the one paying for all these tickets, too, And it's also television. I saw a lot of complaints last night from people who wanted to watch that game and were disappointed that none of the star players were playing. And it seems like when they do it, Marty, they don't do it with just one guy. They do it with five guys, Four guys.
Right, yeah, they just basically, ignore the fans.
Now, they won the game, so I'm not going to, what can you say? Golden State still won the game.
Well, I mean, that's just random nature of basketball. Even that Rockets team was awful the year before they got a game. They still had Ralph. They won like 20 games that year. But, I mean, the thing is, they basically keep telling the fan base, hey, these regular season games don't mean anything. So, the playoffs are all that matter. Why wouldn't the fans kind of react to that? I guess I guess TV reacts to that. They pay like five times as much for 2 months of playoffs as they pay for the 80-game regular season.
Yeah.
So it's just a shame.
It
I
is
feel
a shame.
Sorry for anybody.
And I feel sorry for people who went there. Yeah. I know Colin went up there with his daughter, and you want to see
Absolutely.
Those guys play. You want to see everything that comes with an NBA game featuring star players, and
right.
you got none of it. And
I mean, I can't speak for Colin, but I bet you if Klay Thompson would have played, he'd have been okay with it, right? If one of the
yeah,
one
just
of the
somebody.
Yeah.
They elect
yeah, exactly.
not to play any of them, and it was just. And then you throw in Donovan Mitchell, who had a 71-point game this year. You get to see none of that. I think the NBA has to confront that problem and figure something out. But Marty, thanks. I appreciate it. You're right. Back in the day, guys played. It was the same with all these sports. You know, they had to play. They were trying to make money, and a lot of it wasn't guaranteed money. So it was based on what you did. Now with guaranteed contracts, coddling of some playing time. Listen, guys get banged up. I get it. But at some point, and you're putting the coaches in a tough position. That's the other part of this, because they have to look long term. They can't afford to have, like, for example, Steve Kerr, Steph Curry came back from an injury recently. If it's a recurrence because he's playing too much, that's on Steve Kerr, and he has to answer that question to, you know, if they get into the playoffs and they don't have their best player. I get it, but the league in general has to take this issue up. Marty, thanks for the call at 412-928-9370. We got more coming up. We got Matty Ice headlines. And a big thank you once again to our sponsors. Number one, Cochran. Shop 24/7 with Expressway at Cochran.com. Iron Rock Tap House in Greensburg. Come see what everyone's talking about. PNC Bank. Make today the day at PNC Bank. Shenderovich and Fishman. Plus, Ireland Contracting. It's the home of the nightly sports call. Every night. Pittsburgh CW 1035. And we do it sometimes simulcast right here on The Fan. We've been talking about load management. Now, for those of you who don't know what that means, it's about an NBA trend that makes coaches decide they're not going to play a lot of their star players on back-to-back nights. And we saw that in Cleveland last night, where five of the starting guys for Golden State did not play, and neither did the best player for Cleveland right now, Donovan Mitchell, who had 71 points earlier in a game. These were back-to-back games for Golden State. You understand it, I suppose. One way to alleviate the problem is just get rid of back-to-back games. But then the season drags on. The only way you can do that is if you limit the amount of regular season games, cut them by 10, which they won't do because it's all revenue. Diane Carney on Twitter hits me up at Katie Pomp, and she said, if you look it up, Bob, Mario versus Gretzky didn't happen very often. Schedules and injuries. Sporting tickets are an investment now. Have to plan as best as you can. They know it can go wrong. Those horrible Sunday lineups for the Pirates, which is another thing that people, you know, you pay money for and you expect to see players you want to pay for and you don't get it. So it is an issue in the NBA. There's no question, because it happens more than just one guy. You know, it's one thing if one guy sits out and you still can see other players. When they decide to do it, it normally is, and Popovich did this down in San Antonio all the time with Manu Ginobili, Tony Parker, and those guys, and Tim Duncan, they wouldn't play all of them at once. And you're paying for what then? That's why you pay it. But I guess buyer beware is the thing. So we'll see how that goes. 412-928-9370. Jeff Hathorn had texted me and said he took his daughter up to watch a Cleveland game, specifically to see Luka Doncic for Dallas, and he wasn't even there with no forewarning. You know, you buy the tickets, you expect it, you don't get it. And I think the NBA needs to address it somehow, some way. I don't have an answer, but I think there are answers out there, and they need to check it out for sure. In the meantime, we have some interesting stuff in the NFL today. Really good weekend to watch games. I don't think there's any question. Three of the eight starting quarterbacks last week made their postseason debuts, and they did it in historic fashion. I'm going to start with Daniel Jones, because he became the first player in NFL history with at least 300 passing yards, two touchdown passes, and 70 rushing yards. He had 78, I believe. First guy ever to do that. I would never have bet that Daniel Jones, the one I saw the first 4 years, but it goes to show you what some good coaching can do. And Brian Daboll, I think, has a way of turning guys around, make them more efficient. I will say this, he cut down on his turnovers quite a bit. Daniel Jones was a turnover machine. The one thought I have, it's a meme, of course. Anytime I think of Daniel Jones, I think him running all alone for what would have been like an 85-yard touchdown and him just falling, tripping on nothing. I don't that's what I think of. But he has refined his game. He's been very good. You could argue the best quarterback in the league for the past 6 weeks. And now he's going to get paid, too, because they did not pick up his option, which means he can do a lot of different things or can he, you know, franchise tag, but it's still a lot of money that he's going to get that maybe people didn't think so. Also, Trevor Lawrence, what a game he had. He passed for 288 yards, four touchdowns, most of it in the second half. They overcame a 27-0 deficit to come back and win. Four touchdowns, four interceptions in the same game. Ben Roethlisberger was the last to do that. And then you had Brock Purdy, became the first rookie quarterback ever with four total touchdowns. He had, three passing, one running, or maybe it was two, I don't remember. Four total touchdowns in a playoff game in his first career start. So, I mean, and then you throw in, it's a seventh-round pick. This is why when I look at some of the stuff that I see with rookie of the year in the NFL, they did not put Brock Purdy's name on there. And for me, I'd put him on. You had two Jets, two Seahawks in there. You had Sauce Gardner from the Jets, as well as Garrett Wilson, the wide receiver. And you had Tariq Woolen, the quarterback for Seattle, along with Kenneth Walker, a running back for Seattle. Then you had Aiden Hutchinson. He's going to be on that list. You knew that. And Chris Olave, the Saints wide receiver. But why wouldn't Brock Purdy be on that list? They'll say he didn't play enough games. Well, listen, he was thrown into an almost dire situation. He was a seventh-round draft pick, a raw rookie, who was then asked to come in and keep that ship floating. Not only did he float, he's put it into just high gear. I think that deserves consideration. I think that is something he should have been on. And speaking of reducing turnovers, like I mentioned with Daniel Jones, another reason I think Mike Tomlin elected to keep Matt Canada around is because Kenny Pickett was the best in protecting the football last eight games. I think 0.4%. There weren't, you know, turnovers are a big part of it. You know, whatever decision they made it because they thought that offense was trending forward. And so that's what they did. Anyway, it should be fun weekend. And we can talk about more of these games as we go along. Cincinnati, Buffalo tomorrow will be great. Dallas, San Francisco should be even greater. Let's go out to Counselor, who joins us on the cell phone. Hey, Counselor, how you doing?
Bob, listen. Hi, are you? How are you, Bob?
I'm good. What's going on, man?
Okay. Couple of things. One, on the Steelers. I know it's kind of something of a fantasy wish, but the Steelers have got to choose when they get their first-round pick. If there's an offensive tackle who's the best, quote-unquote, offensive tackle at that pick, unless the corner is a shutdown corner that's rated higher, they've got to get an offensive tackle to protect Pickett's back line side, okay? And I just don't think Dan Moore's good as a swing tackle. I don't think he's consistent enough as a starter.
Okay, what else?
The other thing is on the Pirates, yes, I'm happy Kutch is back. It's a nice promo, whatever you want to call it. Probably sell some tickets too. But the bottom line is they need to take some funds that they're spending on, you know, these one-year, you know, here's a body for this, okay, to put it together and make another offer to Brian Reynolds to try at least and sign him more than just what they did on this last offer. Because it's not going to make any difference if after, you know, McCutch is gone, maybe they get that number one pick who's the outfielder from LSU, and you take away Reynolds, all you got is Switzlinski, and he's not a consistent enough hitter average-wise right. For me.
They expect Travis Swaggerty to be one of those guys. Thanks, Counselor. I'm up against the break here. But, these are two separate issues. This is a feel-good story, and it's a no-brainer. The only thing that bothered me a little bit is that Andrew McCutchen had to make the call to Bob Nutting. I thought it should have been in reverse. But whatever, they got it done for that, and that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. He can help those younger guys in a lot of different ways, and he also would have been their top RBI guy had he been on their roster last year, so that's good. But they need so much more, and I would agree with you. I think I would sign Brian Reynolds to the market price, whatever that is. You got to pay it at some point. With regard to Steelers, tackle would be my number one issue unless, as you said, there is somebody there that they didn't expect that they can get, sort of like what they got Kenny Pickett. If it happens that way, but tackle's high on my list, inside linebacker's high on my list, although they have money to spend, and there's guys out there who can fit that bill. You're going to have to pay a lot, but you would have had to pay a lot if Devin Bush had been the player you wanted. He would have been in his fifth year. You'd have to pay the money. They decided not to do it, so he'll be gone. They need to find a capable replacement.